Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
More of your favourite shows. Joy 94.9.
Before the break, we were chatting with Amanda, Michael and Terry about surrogacy and their journey to become parenthood and just some of the, the exciting parts about it all. I'm not sure if the boys are aware of it, but they probably are. But every time we mention little Harper's name, you both beam. Like, it's really happy to see.
Yep. She's so cute.
She's adorable.
Yeah.
She is. Amazing.
She just laughs all the time.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Beautiful. So you get lots of cuddles.
So yeah, you said she's 12 weeks old?
11 weeks old.
Okay. Yep. Spoken like a true parent there. It's that whole 11 weeks, 5.
Yesterday.
Yep.
And 32 minutes.
So in terms of the practicalities, what was it like welcoming a newborn into your house and that first night after the hospital?
Well, fortunately, the hospital that we chose has an outpatient program where we stayed at the Hyatt here in Melbourne for 3 nights.
Yep.
And they have a floor for new parents and a nursing ward down the end for the 24/7 nurse on duty. And the interesting bit of that, of course, is that it's all mothers who are staying there. And that's part of their paradigm is supporting new mothers.
Sure.
And that was interesting.
They were very high strung. We would go down to the nursing station at midnight and they were all trying to breastfeed and it's not happening and they're screaming. And we're like, we're fine. We're just going to go back to our room.
She just took 20 mils. It's all good. She's up to sleep.
Well, can I tell you, when I had my second, they offered me the Hyatt and I said, no thanks, I'm staying here where I've got the nursery where I can hand the baby over. I can stay at the Hyatt anytime.
But it was really good having the nurse. I felt having the nurse there because I was really nervous. The first night, I obviously didn't sleep. That whole fear of wanting to hear them and everything. And that desire to just bring her over and have a sleep with you. But I found that it was actually quite a natural progression moving her into the house, and it felt just normal. It feels like now, and it felt really quickly like she'd always been there and that she always had a place there, which is really strange. I don't think I would adapt that quickly.
Even like with our dogs, they're like, hey, there's a new queen in town, and they sort of stayed clear.
Yeah,
they sussed her out a little bit, but they've, you know, they just respect her boundary for some reason. It's unusual.
Yeah. But, you know, we had obviously, fortunately, having all this time to prepare, the house was very well prepared for her nursery and for upstairs, for our bedroom. So she's got zones in the house and zones at our office.
Right.
That are prepared for her to stay with.
Yep.
So wherever she goes, you know, it's been adapted, ready for her. But it just feels like she's always been there, which is really strange.
So you bonded fairly quickly by the sounds of it.
I think I texted you this because Amanda went to New Zealand after Harper was born, and I was just lying in at home, I think on the first week, and I was just sitting there and she was in bed with us and I was just like holding her hand or something and I had a little cry. And I'm not an emotional person. And,
They kind of do that to you though.
Amanda was emotional and we were texting and I just sent back a response to her. It was just so amazing how quickly they grab into your soul and they just connect to you. It's just something that I had not planned for.
Yeah.
That whole crying stuff, you know, for some people may know or may not know that I've gone through the whole permanent care process, which is completely different from your guys' experience. We had a week from notification to our little son being placed in our life. But the whole thing about he's 7 and I cry all the time. And, you know, Code will say, you know, oh, Dad, I did this. And I go, oh, yeah, mate, I saw you do that. And guess what I did? And Code will go, you cried. I went, yeah, I did cry. And I would have actually thought that I was the non-emotional one before Code came into my life. But we were chatting, Jody and I were chatting before about that emotional connection stuff. Like you said, it was almost instant for you two or for you three.
Also for Michael, I take a little bit longer to get to like people. Mm-hmm. No, but just, you know, to work each other out. And I took a little bit longer. But now I just like look at my phone if I'm not there and I'm like, aw. You know.
So taking a step back then through the, I mean, obviously surrogacy is a topical thing at the moment in the media, and it's possibly got some bad publicity recently because of some events that have been happening overseas. in terms of the process, how did you find the process and what were some of the hurdles? You mentioned that you did actually look at going overseas at one point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just talk us through that, yeah.
Well, we want to have two children, and having Amanda do this for us at home, we thought, well, what are we going to do now to sort of start our family quicker? We'll try with Thailand. So I went over there for a little visit, and we would have started this about 3 or 4 months ago, but I was like, well, do you know what? We don't want to have two kids, you know, under 14 months, like, scary. So after I met him, we decided we might just hold back a little bit, and I'm glad we did, because we could be stuck.
I guess in relation to the Australian process, it was I found the legislation, while clunky and while obviously designed to protect certain things, relatively useful. I found the systems quite poorly designed. They weren't designed around us, and they were certainly, because they had not been using gay male couples, they were ill prepared. So I thought they really were very keen and very, very positive, but there were a lot of things that they didn't either think to plan. So there was no woman involved, especially no one who had children, so that a lot of things that they probably should have said that they didn't say. And there were steps, there were steps that I think they could have been more clear about, that they didn't let us know at the beginning. So my feedback to them along the way, and I gave a fair bit of feedback, was you just need to be more more communicative with us and let us know more things.
Yeah, because you said, Terry, that they actually didn't let you know that it was legal in the actual workshop or initial workshop. There was some information that they didn't raise awareness of, which was that you could actually have a surrogate in Melbourne.
The conference, the IVF conference that they had, they didn't, we knew people that went to it, and they said they didn't actually even mention surrogacy in Melbourne for gay couples. It wasn't even discussed, and I thought that was a bit odd.
So they were not implying that you didn't have to go overseas, you could actually.
And this is the thing, like, one of the reasons we're happy to talk about this is the awareness raising.
People don't know.
We had a wonderful experience, and we were blessed that Amanda and Mel offered what they offered to us, and we'll never be able to replicate a gift of that magnitude. But the people exist who are willing to offer those gifts to their friends. And the joy of being able to watch Harper here while Amanda was pregnant was just, you know, incomparable.
Is that part of the bonding process, do you think, or not?
It certainly helped me. Like, I would have been far more stressed if we had to travel back and forward regularly to see the surrogate. I would have been distressed if I wasn't confident that she was healthy and being well treated and being looked after, because of course, you know, her health is really critical to the process as well. And if you're not right there, you just don't know. I mean, I'm lucky, we're really close, so I saw Amanda all the time, and, you know, there were goods and bads and all that, and you're seeing how Harper's being quite a drain at the time, and, you know, being quite emotional on Amanda, but you get to see that and you get to understand a little bit. Sorry, and all the appointments, yes.
I was very concerned with Thailand about, I didn't want the women there to be treated sort of like battery hens, and I'm not saying they are or they aren't, and I wouldn't read anyone to filth for doing this and having babies as a result of going over there, but it just, to me, it just felt a little like something didn't feel right just to me personally. Like, I couldn't get that confident answer that these women are taken good care of. It didn't feel right. I felt like someone else was sacrificing and couldn't really help in any way other than just deliver a baby for us. So I felt that was a little selfish.
But Amanda, if hadn't come along, you probably would have had to have gone down that path.
Absolutely. I just would have had to suck it up a bit more and do it. Like, I completely understand it.
The thing that I found really interesting through this process is we've caused all these conversations, and I've been surprised by, one, the amazing polarity of women who've said, either I could donate an egg or I could be a surrogate. Mm. They've never, ever been able to do both in their mind, or who couldn't do either. But the number of women in our lives who said, I could have done that for you if that was my time of life or if whatever it's going to be. And we've made them think about this. And what's obvious to me is that the discussion is always, is it Thailand? Is it India? Is it the UK? Is it the US? It's never, can it be Australia? And this is the I guess, to Terry's point around that conference, it's not being talked about, so women in Australia aren't therefore thinking about it. And it may only be one in 10,000 women who would be able and willing to do that. But that's a huge number of women who would be willing to offer. And if there were people like us who were looking to have a child, and therefore looking for a woman who might say, I could offer you that, I could offer that for you. If the discussion's not happening, the offer can never be made.
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.